T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's a morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Interesting Wednesday for you because we are, you know, still kind of digesting what took place at the All-Star game last night with the 10 home runs in one game, the All-Star record, and no Major League Baseball today. But, of course, a lot of NFL news, and we'll get into some of that coming up in this hour. But also, college football kind of dominating. The ACC Media Days begin today, and Georgia Tech is going to be front and center in those in Charlotte. And when Paul Johnson and the Jackets get on the podium today, we'll certainly bring you a recap and some of the highlights of that tomorrow. Yesterday, the SEC Media Days kicked into high gear at the College Football Hall of Fame. John Chuckery was part of the crowd that was down there. Hugh is off today. He's got jury duty, so John Chuckery stepping in. The crowd yesterday at the College Football Hall of Fame, were there a lot? I mean, in the past in Hoover, Alabama, and I haven't been in a while, but I have been there a number of times.
It'll be there next year, by the way, too. It's going back
to Hoover, I know. But it was just, you would have Alabama's coach come in. This is pre-Saban. And, I mean, there would be 2,000 Alabama fans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be just insane. Was that kind of a show out for Georgia yesterday? Did they show up in force or not?
I didn't see as much of Georgia. They were already wrapped up by the time that I got there. But I know Florida represented pretty well. I mean, when I got there, we went down to the Hall of Fame part to watch Dan Mullen's press conference. And Florida, there's a lot of Florida people there. I imagine today will be insane with the Alabama people. I mean, in this town, especially. I mean, I don't know. It's a smaller radio row, I think, than what they've had in the past. I'm sure some of those, you know, Lafayette, Louisiana and all that don't really want to drive to Atlanta. So you don't get as many of those, you know, Dothan, Alabama, Philadelphia, mm-hmm, Mississippi, mm-hmm, some of those smaller stations, stuff like that. So it is a little bit smaller in some of that feel, but I bet today you'll see Alabama out in full force.
Yeah, and they will be Nick Saban's comments will be certainly scrutinized by the national media and by us as well. Meantime, Georgia, Florida, kind of, you know, stealing the spotlight yesterday. Let's begin with the Georgia side of things, and you know, much discussed Jake Fromm in this offseason, Heisman candidacy of Jake Fromm and Justin Fields, you know, depending on how you look at it, number one or number two high school quarterback in the nation coming out of Harrison High in Kennesaw. We have a couple of sound bites on that. Let's begin with Terry Godwin, of course, is one of those guys that's going to have to be kind of front and center in terms of being on the receiving end of either of these quarterbacks, and this is what Godwin said about that.
Just to have Fromm back, I mean, it's awesome because now he has a year under his belt. He knows what team's going to throw at him, what he needs to look for, and just having that coach out there. And with Fields, I mean, he's came in, he's done tremendous at practice, and he's showing us why he was the number one player in the nation.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about Justin Fields and just seeing him at the spring game, and the one thing that jumped off the page to me first at the spring game was, John Chuckery, was that at Red and Black game, he's a much bigger guy than I thought he was. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's not a little kid.
And he'll get plenty of opportunities, especially the way that their non-conference schedule sets up, that you expect him, you know, against Austin Peay. I mean, I'd say there's a pretty good chance he could play the entire second half of a game like that. And you look at their out-of-conference schedule this year, plenty of opportunity. He's not going to get redshirted, obviously. He'll be their backup quarterback. They only got, what, two scholarship quarterbacks or three now scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. So, I mean, he's going to be your backup, and he'll get some packages that he'll get a chance to play in. But, you know, he'll get his shot. He's not going to be your starter, but he's going to get a shot to get some playing time, especially early.
And then the media asked Kirby Smart about whether or not there is, in fact, a battle at the quarterback spot.
Every position on our team is a competition, so why would it not be that way? You know, is Jake Fromm the returning starter? Absolutely. He played for a national championship, but is every player on the team going to get an opportunity? Is every punter, kicker, holder, every position we're going to have great competition? And I think this year, that's what excites me the most, is that you can go across the board with our top 85, you can say scholarship guys, or 100, including the walk-ons, we're going to have some awesome competition in camp.
I asked Kirby Smart on the midday show with Rick and John yesterday. Yes, John Chuckery. You don't have to hold your hand up. You could just talk.
Yeah, that's the ultimate coach speak.
Of course.
There's no quarterback competition. If you're buying into any of that kind of stuff, then first of all, Georgia really going to start three true freshman quarterbacks in 3 years at that program? No. And you got a guy that just led you to the national title game that wasn't even supposed to start last year but did everything that you asked him to do. This is Jake Fromm's team. I mean, let's not get it twisted. This is his team. It's time for him to step, you know, and be the leader of this team. You don't have that upper-class leadership there, you know, with Roquan and Carter and Chubb and Michelle and all those guys and Dominic Sanders and all those guys. This is his team. He's going to have to be the babe, the boy, and they need him to, you know, I'm not saying he's got to go out and win the Heisman Trophy this year, but he's got to be the babe, the boy this year. And they've got a lot of offensive personnel, but this is his team. Don't get it twisted. This is his team to lead, and he's going to be – just like it was a fait accompli that Jacob Eason was going to be the starter, there's no doubt that Jake Fromm is the starter for this team.
As long as that broken left hand isn't an issue. I mean, and I don't think it'll be.
It ain't going to be an issue.
Stay away from the lake. I mean, you got the hook
well,
in
Kirby
your leg.
Said,
and,
Kirby
you
said know. At least he's not out there playing Fortnite every night, so he's glad that he was out doing something, getting some activity out there.
Of course, there are going to be a lot of quarterback battles throughout the nation. Clemson's certainly going to have one between Bryant and Lawrence. We know that Alabama's going to have one, and that'll be much discussed today, I'm sure, between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. I would imagine that Nick Saban's going to have to address that multiple times. And there could be a quarterback battle down in Florida as well, just to try to find one that will finally kind of fit that Florida program. And Dan Mullen back at Florida after his stint at Mississippi State, returning to take over the Gators and seeing if he can right the ship in Gainesville.
I think having the opportunity, having been at the University of Florida before and won championships, multiple championships there, I know what a special place it could be. And I think that was a big help for me walking into a situation where I had familiarity with a lot of things.
And he was familiar with a lot of things, a big help. He walks in as the new Gators head coach, you know, been there, done that kind of thing. By the way, left the cupboard loaded, not bare, but loaded for Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State.
That might be your surprise team, by the way, right. The SEC this year is Mississippi State.
And do watch for that with Nick Fitzgerald and, 18 starters back for MSU. Mm-hmm. As to Florida this year, I mean, they've still been trying to figure out, you know, whether or not the, you know, they, could they have a freshman and Emory Jones come in and steal that job from the Felipe Franks and become the guy down in Florida. Maybe, you know, he talks about, you know, having the right kind of quarterback fit his system. And if you look at Dan Mullen, he really kind of likes that Nick Fitzgerald, Dak Prescott, more mobile quarterback than a pocket passer, and that's what Emory Jones could be. And maybe even as a true freshman, he could possibly he'll certainly get playing time, and we'll see if they can develop a quarterback in Florida. I have no doubt that Florida is going to be a better program now under Dan Mullen than it has been in the past. Is it too much to ask that Florida, if you're a fan this year, John, that Florida get into that real into the real hunt to possibly win the East again this year?
I don't think that they're a legit contender just yet. I like their offensive personnel, and we will see. I mean, I think they would prefer Franks to start the year off at quarterback than playing a true freshman in the SEC is not exactly the route that you want to have to go if you don't have to. I think if they could buy a year with Felipe Franks or and get Emory Jones in the mix and let him play some. But, I mean, Jordan Scarlett is a legit running back. I mean, he had a really good second half of the season for Florida.
He just stays out of trouble. You know, he's good. Yeah.
I mean, I think they've got a lot of good offensive personnel. You know that they're going to be better offensively just because Dan Mullen is going to be there. I don't know if they'll be the same defensively that they've been the last few years with all the personnel that they've lost. But I think they're still a year or so away from being that real contender threat to Georgia. And, by the way, their schedule – is not easy. I mean, go look at Florida's schedule. I mean, you know, they've got Miss State. They've, I think they go to Baton Rouge this year. Obviously, Florida State at the end of the year, obviously against Georgia. Their schedule's not that easy this year if you look at their schedule. Their out of conference schedule outside of Florida State's pretty dreadful, but in conference, their schedule, I mean, I think they go to Missouri as well. So it kind of is a tough road this year that I think that they're a year away before we see Florida take that next big step.
You know, one of the other guys who's going to speak today is Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee. I don't know what to make of the Vols. There's a lot of expectations that Jeremy Pruitt's going to come in there and finally settle this program down. And if I were a Vols fan, if I were rooting for the Big Orange, I would think that might well happen. I think he's a really good hire for a program that's in the shape that it's in at Tennessee. Now, how long is it going to take him? They've had good recruiting. They've had good players.
They didn't win a game in conference last year. First of all, they should have never beat Georgia Tech. I don't know how Tech lost that game. They didn't win a game in conference last year. Think about that. Tennessee didn't win a game in the SEC last year. That's impossible, isn't it? To go 0-8 in the SEC for Tennessee?
You would think. I mean, Johnny Major said that one year where he went 0-6, and then, well, I think he won his last six. But, I mean, yeah, you're Tennessee. You don't win a game in conference. Yeah, that's just absurd. Insane.
But that's where that program is. I mean, it's hard to believe that that's where Tennessee is, but I don't know. Tennessee's got a lot of questions. I don't think they have that good offensive personnel, and they've lost a lot. I don't know. Tennessee's got a few years. Now, what I'm going to be more interested in with Jeremy Pruitt, how does he handle the pressure up there? I mean, he's not exactly Mr. Warm and Fuzzy kind of guy, right? I mean, his rep is kind of one of those, he's pretty harsh and pretty brash, and it's part of why maybe, you know, he's kind of got some of that Grantham reputation about why he moves around to different places. That's a lot of pressure up there, and they're expecting a lot. I know he was their 17th choice up there, and they'll lie and say that you know, he was their top guy and the guy that they targeted, but he was their 17th choice up there. That's a lot of pressure on that job. I want to see how he kind of handles that, because he does have that rep of he's not Mr., you know, warm and fuzzy.
Well, I understand that, but maybe that's exactly what they need. Maybe the program needs a little bit of dose of that.
I guess we'll
find out. I mean,
he can't be worse than Derek Dooley, right?
Or Lane Kiffin. You know,
was Lane Kiffin that bad? I think Lane Kiffin was actually not that. I think there's a lot of revisionist history about that. I think if Lane Kiffin had a chance to stay, I think Tennessee could have been pretty good. I think Lane Kiffin gets a bad rap. I think he's a better coach than some people give him credit for.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, Tennessee's program has been in disarray for a while. Now, despite all this, their recruiting has still been pretty good. So you look at the East this year, and Georgia is the prohibitive favorite. I get that. And you wonder, where is the competition? Because somebody going to step up. Is it Florida going to grow?
I think it's South Carolina is the second team in that pecking order.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree. I wanted to get to South Carolina for a second, because I think that with Jake Bentley settled at quarterback, you get Deebo Samuels back. Will Muschamp, you know, you talk about a rep. Look what happened down in Florida. And then Will Muschamp goes to South Carolina and settles the program down a little bit. Look, you can make a strong argument that it's been an underachieving program, especially considering some of the quality talent that they put into the NFL. It's been an underachieving program, especially when also considering the fact that your land-grant school to your north in your own state has become a superpower.
Well, that's the problem for South Carolina, is that the competition in state has completely shifted. It's not Lattimore and Jeffries and those guys decide that we're going to go to South Carolina and play for Spurrier. The pecking order has completely changed, and it makes it tough for South Carolina now. They're never going to get the top kids, by and large, now to go back to that program with the way Clemson is out there. But they've got some pieces. If Bentley can kind of bounce back and he can kind of take a step forward, he's got his best offensive player. Deebo Samuel could be first-team all-conference. There's no question about that, that he's as good as anybody in the conference. Really good offensive line, one of the better offensive lines.
Yeah,
probably
offensive
in the
line
conference.
Could be very good, yes.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, we'll see what they are. You know, I mean, that I think there are some questions defensively for South Carolina. But you look at the pecking order of the SEC East, there's no reason why South Carolina can't be the number two team behind. And look, that game in Columbia looms big for Georgia. Georgia loses that game. Now, all of a sudden, maybe the door opens. I don't know. I don't think they go up there and lose. But, you know, crazy things happen in Columbia.
It is your time, and the door is open for you to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
recycle. All right, recycle. Now, don't text and drive, because you know what's going to happen. If you put your phone in your hand and some cop sees you right now, you're going to get a ticket, and you don't want to have that happen to you, because that's the new law. Recycle, R-E-C-Y-C-L-E, recycle, and you should always recycle anyway. To 72881, recycle to 72881, text recycle to 72881. If your name is randomly selected before the top of the hour, you're going to win $1,000 in the national signing bonus. Message data rates may apply. Recycle to 72881. And, John, we want somebody to win $1,000 right now.
I'm going to try to be their lucky charm today with no ketchup on it.
Do you put ketchup on your lucky charms? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't even eat Lucky Charms. I'd be dead if I ate Lucky Charms. It's about 444,000 grams of sugar in Lucky Charms.
You know, it's so funny, because everybody talks about in the East, and we'll talk a lot about the West in the 9 o'clock hour when we get to that, but just focusing a little bit on the East, as Georgia's a favorite, and you wonder where that competition is coming from. Tennessee's going to be a better team. South Carolina, but South Carolina is kind of a prove-it-to-me team. I mean, we've seen this and heard this from them before. We heard it during the Spurrier years. Oh, South Carolina's got Clowney. Oh, South Carolina's going to do this. And they go, with Florida, you know, I expect that they're going to be a bit better. You mentioned the schedule there. Then you start looking at the other three. you know, Missouri, I don't know what to make of Missouri.
Well, they're going to be good offensively. They got one of the better quarterback wide receiver groups in the conference.
I mean, they're going to score 54, but they're going to have to win. It's just like last year, where they're going to win games 56-53.
Yeah, because a few years ago they lived off defense, and now they've completely shifted to where their defense is terrible and their offense flings it around. Kentucky's interesting. I mean, they might have the best running, one of the, you know, top two or three running backs in the conference in Benny Snell, but they got to figure out a quarterback. I mean, Stephen Johnson, believe it or not, not statistically good, but that dude just won games for them.
I think on paper, we talked about the East rising and being the level with the West. I think the West on paper is far better.
Alabama, Auburn, Miss State. And
LSU, A&M. No thanks.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Not even close right now. A big dollar deal for a wideout in the NFL and what that means for Julio Jones and the Falcons. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff out of that. We'll have it for you next.
Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
The countdown is on. 9 days away until the Atlanta Falcons open camp and players are on the field in Flowery Branch. And here we go. Get ready for the National Football League. All right. Welcome back to the morning show. John and Hugh. Hugh's got jury duty today. He got full Pauly Shore for that jury duty. So John Chuckery stepping in here. And John, Hugh would be chopping up this story if he had a shot at it today, because they're big news for potentially for the Atlanta Falcons in the sense that we're starting to see movement here in terms of contracts, and Brandon Cooks, who's now with the LA Rams, got himself a new deal, an extension yesterday, 5 years and $80 million for Brandon Cooks. If I'm Julio, I'm looking at that saying, well, I know what the market will bear.
Yeah, you know, his agent was probably celebrating and went out for a good steak dinner last night. That's crazy. $80 million for Brandon Cooks for 5 years. I mean, that's where the NFL's going, though. I mean, that's... And this tells you kind of why. Look, we were talking a bit on our call yesterday. You know, that magic age in the NFL of 29 years old, you know, when you're getting to be 20, and Earl Thomas is doing the same thing right now. When you get to that age and you're staring at 30 years old in the NFL, guys want their money. Guys want to make sure that they're going to get their pile of cash, because you're on the downslope and you don't know how much longer you got or how much longer you want to play at that point. So when you start to see some of these numbers, you know Thomas Dimitrov's got to be thinking, good Lord, what the heck are these guys doing out there? But it's like you said, it's what the market is bearing right now for these guys.
And Cooks last season, of course, he wasn't with the Rams, caught 65 passes, 1,082 yards, 7 touchdowns. The thing with Julio is that not only did he catch for more yards, but less touchdowns than Cooks. But the thing with Julio, when people say, well, you know, Brandon Cooks did these numbers or this guy did these numbers, and Julio only had 3 touchdowns, is you have to look at what he did in the postseason for you. And in the postseason, in his career, by the way, in the postseason, he's produced more than Antonio Brown has in less games.
Okay. If I put all the wide receivers in the NFL in a free agent pool, there's no GM in the NFL that would take Brandon Cooks before he'd take Julio Jones. I mean, there's none. I don't care what his stats are. None of that means anything. Nobody is taking Brandon Cooks over Julio Jones.
Of course
not.
So
people can talk about this number and that. I mean, you can cherry pick whatever number that you want out there. Julio is an elite player. He's an elite player, an elite guy at his position. There's a reason why he was, what, third or fourth in the NFL top 100 list. He's an elite talent. He's the best player on your franchise. That team that plays that direction down the road there, that's the best player on your roster. So you can twist it and spin it and do all the things you want. Is Matt Ryan's the most important player you have? Julio is the best player that you have out there.
All right, so John Chuckery, you know, fill us in on where you stand. Hugh and I think we're kind of on the same page here. There's this whole thing about, well, in one regard. I mean, if you believe in, and I think, you know, not to put words in his mouth, but you know, Hugh believes that Julio's going to show up hell or high water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what they'll do is they'll take – some money from the last 2 years, put it into bonus. He'll get more guaranteed money.
And then next year, and then they tell him, look, next year we'll give you.
Next year you get the extension. Next year you get your big Brandon Cooks extension, because Brandon Cooks just got extended off of his current deal. And that's what you do in the NFL, by the way. Nobody does a new deal, like this idea that they were going to rip up a deal. Nobody does new deals in the NFL because it's too cap prohibitive. You extend it. Matthew Stafford has played on basically the same contract his entire NFL career. All they've done every time is just extend out the years and all that. So it's basically one big long contract. He's not getting a new contract every 4 or 5 years. Same thing with Matt Ryan. You just give them extensions. That way you can manipulate the cap money with it.
And that's what Cooks has. He's an extension, yeah, even though he's with a new team.
Because his total deal now is 6 years and $88 million.
Right.
So he just got 5 and 80. But he had 1 and 11 that was still on his contract.
And then you look at Cooks now with the L.A. Rams. The Rams now are going to be pressured on the Aaron Donald to get that deal done. You have Cooks, you have Ndamukong Suh. They go out and make big moves in the offseason because they saw their limitations in that playoff game against the Falcons last year, where the Falcons kind of manhandled them a little bit. And so if the Rams believe, and there are a lot of people that have jumped on this Rams bandwagon, that they believe that Sean McKay has got something going out there, and Sean McVay's got a team that's got, you know, defensive stars and offensive stars. I'm not buying it yet. I'm just not. I think they're okay. I mean, yeah, they've got great players. And Gurley's a great player, but you think of the Rams, because I just think that the Rams are still only okay. You don't have to raise your hand, John.
That team's going to go as far as Jared Goff takes them. You can tell me about Gurley and Donald. Was Todd Gurley really good a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, how many games they win?
Yeah.
Okay, was Aaron Donald really the last several years?
Yeah.
Okay, how many games they win? They will go as far as Jared Goff takes them. That you can talk about Cooks and this and that. I say this all the time about Tampa. How many All-Pros does Tampa have? Everybody's an All-Pro on their team. Everybody's Pro Bowl on their team, right? Okay, if you ain't got the quarterback in the NFL, you ain't going nowhere. If Jared Goff plays like he did last year, then they got something. If he's like he was, you know, in his rookie year, then they don't have nothing. I don't care how good Gurley and Donald.
It'll be interesting to see what the extension for Cooks means for Julio Jones. And then there's Le'Veon Bell. And this story is out there today. And Le'Veon's agent is Adisa Bakari. And he's talking about the fact that this is Bakari talking about the fact that he did not accept a 5-year, $70 million deal and elected instead to take a 1-year deal, which is just, taking the. That 1 year was a $14 million?
Yeah, franchise.
Right,
tag.
I think something like that. So this is Le'Veon's agent talking about that.
Two things, I think, made this deal more complicated than normal. One is that resource allocation board, where, again, Le'Veon certainly should not be looked at as a true running back because that's not what he is. And then two, because of historically how the Steelers construct their deals, we couldn't find a scenario that would ensure Le'Veon the level of protection from a guaranteed standpoint that made sense.
All right, so we just didn't like the deal. That was on SiriusXM NFL. You don't have to raise your hand, John. You can just talk.
That's like the big agent speak. Well, you know, he's not really a running back. Okay, stop. Just stop.
The running backs that the other positions, offensive linemen, have soared in salaries. Running backs have dropped
because your time playing in this league. This is what I talk about with Tevin Coleman. This is why this year, if you're the Falcons, you squeeze every drop of juice out of Tevin Coleman that you can, because you're not going to bring him back next year. You don't worry about what his long. You squeeze everything. That's why I said, hey, I'd put him back on kickoffs. I'm on kickoffs back. Throw him the football. I'm squeezing everything because the shelf life of those guys isn't very long. The shelf life is just not there for those guys. Squeeze everything out that you can. I get his age. He's not a running back now. I understand. He's the best running back in the NFL, no doubt about it. He's a running back. Whether you want to believe that or not, he's a running back. And I get it. He wants every dollar because he's getting to be in that range where guys like him, all of a sudden, and you're seeing a guy like DeMarco Murray retiring, you know, early in the NFL. I think a lot more guys, especially in that position, want to do those kinds of things of, I don't want to go until I've got that complete beat-up factor and I can't live my life the way that I want to live my life, you know, when I'm older.
Right, no, and this is a concern about Devontae Freeman, too. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
With all the concussions. Yeah, right. These guys, those running backs, that's a position that used to be a marquee position where you're having a lot of guys start to look at running back going, eh, maybe I should play linebacker or something else because, you know, that running back position, the shelf life is so short. And as a result, you don't maximize the amount of money that you can make as a running back. This is a big gamble by Le'Veon Bell. It may not have been, you know, the guaranteed cash that the agent wanted, but he plays this year. Even if he puts up good numbers next year, is somebody really going to be willing to give him 5 years, $70 million? The answer is no.
I can't. Yeah, I was going to say, would you give Le'Veon Bell a 3 year deal with a lot of money?
You know, at this point, I'm not inclined to. No, I think that, look, he's a great running back. I mean, make no mistake about it. He is a great player. Todd Gurley is a great player. But you're right. I mean, you worry about that position, about injuries, and whether you want to tie up a whole bunch of money into a guy that could miss an appreciable amount of time.
By the way, isn't it time for the Steelers to, like, go win a Super Bowl themselves? They've got all these top 10 players. They had, what, two of the top four guys in the NFL on the NFL Top 100? Isn't it time for them to go win? Because their quarterback said he's only playing three more seasons, right? Isn't it time for them to go win a Super Bowl? I mean, don't they have to start looking at the clock and saying, okay,
they're going to have to look at the clock, right? I mean, no question about it. I mean, they've been right there. They just have to, you know, get it done again. I mean, you know, Tomlin knows what it takes, obviously.
Well, he's got to get that locker room back on track. He's got to reel everything in.
Well, it wasn't his fault that what happened last year.
Look, he's got to reel that team back in. It's time for them to get back in the Super Bowl, in the real Super Bowl business, and go win the thing. They got too much talent to not do it.
Well, because there are other teams that are starting to rise, you know, and that happens. It's normal.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, you know, what Jacksonville did last year. What, you know, in theory, the Houston Texans could do.
Jacksonville's not in the Super Bowl business. They proved that in the offseason.
And then you look at the Houston.
They brought Blake Bortles back. They're not in the Super Bowl business.
That defense is pretty good.
He was?
Oh, now, the defense is pretty good.
Oh, no, their roster is a college all-star team. But they're not in the – if you're bringing back Blake Bortles, say that five times real fast – if that's your move, you're not in the Super Bowl business.
All right, what is bugging you today?
Oh, when we get back, the All-Star game call. I'm not a guy who normally bangs on Joe Buck, but even I, like, started to have to get to sleep to it. We'll do all that next on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay. Let's do it.
We're giving away a quarter of $1 million.
With Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Big old Hugh got to play Camu Claus today at the Fulton County Courthouse. It is brought to you, of course, by Camu, the Game Day Cognac. And game day today is Hugh on jury duty. And so since Hugh's on jury duty and can't play Camu Claus on this Camu game day, we'll find out what's bugging Chuck.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that was hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
No, John, I'm not normally a guy who bangs on Joe Buck and what he does and all that. And I understand why people don't like him and they don't like a lot of these announcers. But I will have to say, last night in watching the All-Star game, he was really starting to get on my nerves last night. Now, the concept of what they did last night, where they had players out in the outfield mic'd up, Trout, Harper, Matt Kemp, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a great idea. They could have a lot of fun with it. It's back to an exhibition game. That's all fine and dandy. Joe Buck, who is absolutely, positively not the king of the ad-libbers, though, trying to get his way through this. Hey, I'm Wacky McWackerson over here trying to do all my spoof and everything. And, hey, Bryce, I could have caught that ball. Hey, John Smoltz, of course you would reference a pitcher. Honest to God, I wanted somebody to punch me in my kidneys at some point during the night having to listen to all that. Honest to God, it made me wish that Chris Berman was calling golf again. That's how bad it was getting last night.
Well, yeah, right. Some guys are just good at certain things and stay in their lane.
Yeah.
And when they decided,
I don't know what was older. Some of his jokes or his hair plugs. No, I don't know which one.
No, but here's the, okay. I can't argue about anybody's hair plugs. Now, I can say, I can say this, that I think it was unfair to Joe to put Joe into that position.
I'll bet you he pined to do that
He may have. If he did, you, if he asked
because
for that,
he's Wacky McWackerson. Hey, man, I got a talk show, right, and I can do all this.
Yeah, exactly. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay in your lane. Because Joe should have called the game, and they should have somebody else who was more appropriate to be able to handle that kind of, you know, the Bob Uecker thing or whoever, to handle the, you know, the interviews and the talkbacks with the players. That's all.
Yeah, it was awful. And he just got to a point where it was just, it made you want to, like, watch bowling at that point, or put something else on and having to listen to him out there.
I like watching bowling.
He is absolutely.
Wait a second.
I don't mind watching some bowling. That's kind of, you know, if your NFL team isn't playing, you know, ESPN's got bowling on for you. But nonetheless, back to Joe Buck out there. I understand. It was hard to watch last night. And you talk about a guy who couldn't ad-lib his way through anything and trying to do anything spontaneous. That was awful at times last night, especially when he goes, hey, Bryce, I could have caught that out there. Shut up. Bryce should have told him, you know what, shut up. I look better than you. You stink. I'm better than you. And go get some more hair plugs. At least my hair's real. That's what Bryce Harper should have told him out there. It was bad. It just, and I get it. You know, Joe Buck was, you know, he's trying to do, didn't he have like some kind of HBO or Showtime talk show that he
was
did
a disaster
or something? Okay.
Yeah.
So Wacky McWackerson's back there trying to do all of his shtick and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, Smoltz is just trying to, you know, play along and all that kind of stuff. And then he's like, hey, you know, it figures the pitcher would say. Yeah, because John Smoltz is a Hall of Fame pitcher. That's right. Why he would bring up reference. That's why he would talk about Clayton Kershaw with Matt Kemp, because they came up together and they've been in the league together and how great is it? Okay, out there. Joe Buck, you know, just what did you play, Daryl? Stay in your lane? Yeah, Joe Buck needs to stay in his lane, call games. I actually think
Joe Buck. Stay in your lane.
Exactly. I think Joe Buck's, leave the bad comedy and the terrible impressions to me, okay? Leave that. But it did make me want to, hey, Tommy, hey, it's Boomer. Hey, leave the bad impressions to me, okay? I will do all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, some guys want to be play-by-play guys.
And by the way, that's what's plugging Chuck.
And by the way, we'll note this, that Brett Musburger, at age 93 and a half, is now going to be the play-by-play guy on radio of the Raiders.
He's got a two-year deal, so one will be in Oakland and then one will be in Vegas, which is awesome because he lives in Vegas now, right?
I got to ask a Raider fan real quick. Greg Popp has been doing the Raiders forever, Daryl. I mean, is that going to go over well with Raider Nation?
Nope.
That's what I'm thinking. And some guys, again, stay in your lane. Brent Musburger was a really good studio host, a really very polished studio host. I have never liked him as a play-by-play.
Oh, I loved it when him and Herb Street were together. I actually
I can't stand it because he's one
Brent's one of the few old guys left that actually has some game to him still.
Yeah, but no, see, and I don't like him as a play-by-play guy. I never did because he's one of those guys that every play, it could be a second quarter of a Bengals-Browns game where, you know, it's third down and three. Oh, and he's got a first. Everything is winning the Super Bowl.
John,
everything.
Hold on. He absolutely embraced the pageantry of college football. That's what was so great about him and Herb Street. You know, Herb Street, you know, who's jumped the shark, and I've got my own issues with Herbie and all that. I love what Brent Musburger brings to the college football broadcast.
You never liked him as an NBA guy?
Yeah, I like Brent. I think I'm telling you, Brent's one of the few old guys left that's got some game.
I guess the point is that you like what you like, you know. And you know, I was never a Sean McDermott fan. I was never a Joe Buck fan. I mean, you like what you like. I mean, you know, to me, and I know that people made, you know, fun of certain announcers over the course of time, including me, which is fine. But I was I'm real picky about my play-by-play guys, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, to me,
who's the best play-by-play guy of all time?
Well, I mean, I'll listen to Nessler. I mean, I really have always loved Brad.
My top two, Brad's the second. I think the second best
Jim Nance, I think, are.
Really? I think Al Michaels is the best play-by-play guy of all time.
Al Michaels, right. You know, I mean, we're talking about, but those are the elite guys.
Al Michaels and Brad Nessler, to me, are the two best play-by-play guys that there's ever been.
Right. Go ahead, DT.
Huh? Jim Nance. No.
Jim Nance is so, you know, I mean, he just.
Now, that's a guy who should stay in his lane. Golf.
Jose Marie.
Stay in your lane.
You're pretty good at golf, you know. He and Dan Hicks are very good at golf. And then you get somebody else doing. You get Joe Buck doing golf. That didn't work for me either.
No, that Fox broadcast is horrible. How bad they are.
Yeah, Fox has got to work on its game.
How about just don't give him any golf? How about that? That's what they should work on. They should work on losing that contract.
Well, there's a old powerhouse sports guy in town who says and wonders a little bit whether or not Julio's going to shut it down. Forget that he's going to go to camp.
Bobak?
Oh, the Dutch treat. That I haven't heard that name in a while.
Hot channels, baby.
not Bobak. Nope. No, what was it? Wally Mayer? Is that it? Something like that. That was his real name? I don't know.
Wally Mears.
That's it.
Skinny Bobby Harper?
Who says maybe Julio going to shut it down. We'll have that audio and play for you next. On the morning show with John and Hugh and John Chuckery today on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Touchdown, Raiders!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.